Can these dry bones live? Can these burnt stones rebuild the temple, as the Bible says? Yeah, I think they can. Can these halls be filled with laughter again, joy and hope? Can this home actually be filled with kids who will never, ever have to worry about being sold off into trafficking again? I know they can. Can these rooms be filled with pregnant mamas who didn't know what they were going to do or how they were going to do it, but now they have a hope and a future? You know what? That's exactly what King Jesus promises all of us. So how about we take on that promise? How about we take on that mantle? And we say, this is our responsibility. This is who we are called to be. This is what Jesus would have us to do. You know, we always say the prayer, let his will be done upon this earth, even as it is in the heavens. But this is where it's real. This is where you can see it every single day. This is actually where it matters. I know that this is God's dream. Is this your dream? It's my dream. I want to ask you to help me. Will you please consider helping me make this dream come true for untold numbers of young women who have no idea that we're coming to get them? There's so much hope and there's so much promise. And you know, I don't even know any of these girls yet, but I'm going to, and I'm going to know them for the rest of their life. This is where these kids become family.
Well, hello, hello, family. Welcome back to another episode of the Pulse Podcast on this beautiful May 13th. I'm Shay Wilbur. I know I'm not Pastor Troy, who you're probably here to see, but don't worry. We have a word from Pastor Troy that we're going to get to in just a minute. So you're at the right place. If you felt like, you know what, God told me to watch this, I feel like Pastor Troy is going to have a word that is for me. I assure you, the word that is coming today is for you. It is so good, and I can't wait to get to it. But first of all, I'm Shay Wilbur. I'm the media director. I was going to say the ministry director. Now, the media director of all things in this house, Open Door Church, Troy Ministries, and all of that fun stuff that keeps me so, so busy. But today I'm sitting in Pastor Troy's seat, and it's big shoes to fill. Don't worry. He's also going to be back very soon. He's going to be back in studio next week, guys. So I know you've been waiting a long time. So just... The light is at the end of the tunnel. He will be here soon. But again, we have a word from him in just a few moments. But first, let me start out with this. This is May 13th, which is 5/13. And because Pastor Troy has trained me well, Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. That is a strong word and a strong call to us that it's our mandate to be the salt of the earth. And how do we do that? Well, listen, this is why I'm glad that you're here today, because you're going to be walking away from today's broadcast with tools that will help you to be just that, to be the salt of the earth. We're talking kingdom values and kingdom values that are going to be so applicable to your life. I'm just telling you this right now. Get your pen and paper ready. Get ready to take notes. However you're doing, maybe you do it on your phone. Get ready to take notes, because you are going to want to do that with the word today. But why don't you just take this opportunity right now? First of all, let us know where you're watching from. We have a global family. We love to see you all the different countries mentioned. We love that. And also be a media missionary. Like and share this broadcast, because who knows, someone in your circle for sure needs to hear what we are going to be talking about today. We've also got some incredible ministry updates coming your way, because we have someone very special joining me in studio. I didn't want to be here, you know, all by myself today. And I feel like that song, All By Myself. Anyway, Ben, you want to sing that for right
now? No.
We have
really
the one
don't.
And only Ben Brewer.
Hola, amigos. I'm back.
He's joining us in studio. We're going to have some ministry updates from him. But Ben, first of all, how does it feel day two back in the saddle? Are you going to just like stay here forever now?
No, I have to leave again.
No.
I'm going to Mexico this Saturday, and then I am going to Africa like a week after that.
Oh my goodness. Oh yeah. You're going on the Africa trip?
I'll be there for 2 or 3 weeks.
Wow.
And I'm going to somewhere else after that and somewhere else after that. So I'm gone basically the rest of the year. So enjoy me while you can.
Well, we're going to have to bring you in studio more because it's fun having you back. And I know everyone, I know you're all very happy to see Ben back here. So give him a little shout out or send him a little hug in the comments right now. Say, we love you, Ben. Don't leave us. Don't leave. But actually, you need to be going.
I have to.
You need to be going out and doing all of the things because really, you know, we here in studio and within the media team, it's my job to tell the stories and to raise awareness so that we can raise funds for all of these different projects that we do around the world. And that's why we're always talking about the new rescues. We're always talking about the different things that we have going on. And then you are the one who's actually going out to all those places and okay, making sure the projects are happening and meeting all of our new rescues and doing all of the things. You're actually what you do. It's, you know, we're all intertwined and it's a very important role that you have.
Yep. I am the global development officer.
Is that the technical term?
It
wow.
is. I have no idea what it means. But
global development officer.
Yeah, that's what I
but
am.
But that really and truly is what you do. Yep. And it's so needed to also, I think it's important because Pastor Troy can't be everywhere as much as he wants to be and as much as he tries to be sometimes. And we're like, no, Pastor Troy, just stay here. We need you here. It's so great. And it's also the next generation. It speaks to the heart of what we do here. We rescue and raise, and not only that, but we every single person within this house, that mandate falls on them as well. Even Barrett.
Yep.
Even that's Barrett's doing that with all the stuff that he's doing, selling eggs to fund the school in Africa.
Yeah. So he's actually building a special needs school in Africa also.
That's great. And how old is he?
13.
Like 13 years old. Okay.
Think about it for a second.
And I mean, a lot of people don't get it right when it comes to empowering the next generation. And I see that all the time. And with ministries, you know, it's like the father or the, you know, whoever is that's spearheading the ministry, they have the vision. And then when they're gone, the vision fizzles out. And I'm like, that is actually something that we do so well in this house is raising up the next generation. And so I'm so glad that you are the global development ambassador, right? So he said
officer.
Yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah. Close enough. I love that you're doing that. And I'm sure people do they ever think that you're Pastor Troy when you go?
Yes. Quite often, especially like when I'm in Uganda or something like that, where they're not used to seeing white people. They just assume they're like, oh, Papa Troy. I'm like, no, I'm T.O. Ben.
How's T.O. Ben. I love that.
Uncle Ben.
That's awesome.
No relationship to the rice, by the way. Just.
Oh, I do Uncle like Ben's. The rice. Yeah, I do like Uncle Ben's rice. Sorry, it took me a second. No, that's a staple in our home. So Ben, why don't you give us an update on the work? Well, should we start with Panama? Let's start with Panama. So we do works in so many different countries around the world, and Panama is one that you guys have been traveling to recently. So talk to me about what God has us doing there.
So first off, it's my first time to come to Panama, and I'm so excited because it's the last country in Central America I haven't been to. So that closes it out.
Wow.
I'm super excited about that. But so what we actually are doing is we're actually having a conference down there where we're going to be rescuing the rescuers. And so it's called Breaking Chains. And like I said, I'm super excited about this because we're going down there and we're actually paying for a little over 51% of this entire conference, including people's hotels, their food, whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. And so while we're down there, we're going to be basically interlacing all the people that have been separated around the world. And this is a strictly Spanish-speaking conference.
That's awesome.
So it'd be people from Spain, from as far down as Argentina to Mexico. Wow. All the Spanish-speaking countries are all coming together, and we're going to unite them. Mm-hmm. And so that way we actually have more people that are helping each other out instead of it just being, oh, I'm out here in a silo. No, it's going to be one huge compound.
That's awesome. And it really speaks to what we do. I mean, we rescue, but we also rescue the rescuer.
Correct.
And we're also such a bridge. Like I have seen it over and over where God uses your parents, Pastor Troy and Leanna, as a bridge in so many different ways, relationally. And I love that because a lot of ministries out there, just they are in their own little silo.
Yep.
And it's like, let's join forces. Let's partner with those who are also doing it. And when we rescue the rescuer, that's a lot of what we do is we find people all around the world who are rescuing. And we're like, how can we empower you to do it more? Yep. How can we partner with you? So that is really cool. And when is that happening? Do you remember? Can we see that again just to get those dates up?
September 9th,
September 9th to the 12th.
And so I was told by Suwanami, if you have an organization that has a Spanish-speaking organization, you are welcome to come join us.
Yeah.
You can follow that stuff right there and sign up online.
Yep. There's a website right there at the bottom of that. Taylor, can they see that website? Because with the scroll at the bottom.
It's in Spanish, so I wasn't going to try to say it.
FundacionRehab.org.
Yeah.
FundacionRehab.org. Yes. So if you want more information about this conference, if you have an organization in Spanish speaking in one of these countries and you want to be a part of this Breaking Chains conference, that is So awesome.
Like I said, it's not just limited to Central or South America.
Okay.
Like I said, Spain and some guys from Portugal are also coming.
That's so cool.
I mean, literally everyone that speaks Spanish that has an organization that does this type of work is getting together. And the whole point of it, like awesome. I said, is not only just to rescue these people, but also to show them they're not alone.
Yeah.
And actually help them find other people amongst themselves to unite with.
Yeah.
And to take this on, because we can't do this by ourselves.
So good.
There's no way we can do this by ourselves. And so this is what we're going to be, excuse me, this is what we're going to be showing everybody. On this, during this conference, I'm super excited about it.
That is awesome, man. I can't wait to hear the testimonies of that. And then also you just got back from Acuna, where you visited a very special rescue. So you were recently in Acuna to visit one of our new rescues, and you guys have heard about her. This is Rachel. She is 15 years old, right? Yes. Is she 15 years old? And she had been forced to have abortions. She was, I believe, forced into trafficking at the age of 10, mm-hmm. if I remember correctly. And when we got her, our teams just, what they said was that she was just so thankful. And she had such a sweet spirit. And, you know, these kids come out of like the most horrific things, horrific circumstances, and we never know what they're going to be like and what they've gone through. And she was just so grateful and so thankful. And I love that. And I can't wait to meet her. But tell me about this trip when you got to actually meet her.
So this trip was a literal impromptu. I had just gotten back from Japan. I'd been home from Japan for 2 days. And someone was like, hey, what you doing? I was like, I don't know. What you
when Suwanami calls you, you're like, uh-oh, here we go.
Between her and my mom, like, you never know where you're going to go in the world when they call. So it's was like, nothing, what's up, what you need? She's like, when you go down to Mexico, it's the day of the child. And we need to go celebrate this. And we also need to go see Rachel. And the lady, she's such a sweetheart. The lady that runs our home down there, her husband actually just had a major surgery.
Wow.
And so she couldn't be there for the day of the child. So Swami's like, we have to be there for the day of the child. Big deal. Like, we have to go have a party for these kids. It's like, yeah, no problem. Go have a party with a bunch of kids. Yes.
Let's go do it.
That means I get to give them too much sugar. I get to give them all sorts of energy drinks, whatever I want. I get to be the Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
And the lady of the house wasn't there, so she couldn't tell me no.
Yep. There you go.
But no, so I actually drove down there. It's about a 5.5 hour drive from my house. And so I drove down there Saturday morning, got there about noon-ish, somewhere in there. And then we went to Walmart and bought so much candy that the guy that was checking us out at the line was just laughing. He's like, why do you have so much candy? I was like, oh, we got about 70 kids. We're about to sugar up and send back home. It's going to be great. So we went and bought a ton of candy. We bought a ton of just fun toys. The youngest there is, I think she's 9 months old.
Wow. At the house.
Mm-hmm. So we bought baby toys for her. We bought all sorts of fun stuff. We bought footballs. We bought soccer balls.
Yeah.
All this stuff.
Yeah.
And so then, I don't know if you know what Urban Air is.
Yeah.
Okay. So they have an Urban Air-esque thing there in Mexico. So
like a bounce park, like a trampoline park.
It's like a trampoline park. And it also has like rock climbing walls. It has all sorts of stuff. It was awesome. It was so much fun. So we took all the kids there and the kids lost their minds. Most of them never seen a trampoline before. They didn't even know what that was.
No way.
And so they all kind of stopped and stared like, what is happening here? It's like, dude, just go jump, run and jump. And they lost their minds for hours. And it was so much fun.
And so Rachel was one of the ones that went.
She was. And so we got there, we gave them all the candy, let them jump around, and they start climbing up all these walls. Well, Rachel, she's kind of hesitant when it comes to men still.
Mm-hmm.
It's understandable. So one of the rules I have is I don't want to cause more trauma for the kids.
Yeah.
I wait for them to come to me to give me a hug or shake my hand or whatever. Yeah. I don't force that interaction at all.
Yeah.
If it takes a month, it takes a month. If it takes 10 minutes, it takes 10 minutes. However long it takes, it takes. And so I was sitting back and I was smiling. I was talking to her and I was talking to all the other kids and I had so much fun with those kids. Those kids are awesome.
Oh, they're so fun. I've met them before and they are
they're so funny.
They're great.
They're hilarious. But we're sitting there and sorry, I'm getting choked up. She walks up to Swanami and Swanami's like, hey, I just want you to know that we're so happy to have you here. You're safe now. And she's talking to her through all that. And she looks at me and goes, Ben, you want to say anything? I was like, yeah, of course I do. It's like, hey, I want you to know you have a much bigger family than what you think you do. It's not just the ones you see here. There's people all over the world, just like you guys, that are actually your family now. And you have tons of brothers and sisters. You have tons of aunts and uncles. And you now have a mom and dad that love you. And we're all of us going to love you for the rest of your life. And you're safe. And nobody's ever going to harm you again. And she just broke down and started crying. And so,
wow.
So Swami's telling her all this and she gives Swami a big hug. And then Rachel turns to me and goes, is it okay if I hug you? Hey, listen, I'm pretty well trained to I don't cry till I get back to my hotel room by myself because I am one of the ugliest criers on the planet. It is horrible. I would traumatize people when I cry. And so I came this close to just breaking down because the love that little girl has in her already and the joy that little girl has and the sheer gladness just to be alive. Mm-hmm. I mean, if so you could see her
face.
Was this
right after that happened?
Yeah.
Wow.
Right after that happened. If you could see her actual face and see the actual spark in her eyes.
Yeah.
It is one of the most amazing things ever. And I get to experience this all the time, but it never gets old. Watching her climb up the rock walls and jump on the trampoline like a normal kid, it is just, it's a liberating moment. And as a dad of two myself, I don't have any girls there. Because if I did, I mean, they'd be the most spoiled rotten things.
Oh, they would be so spoiled.
I get to spoil all these girls around the world, which is so much fun. But as just a dad, it breaks my heart to know what all they went through.
Yeah.
But it melts my heart to watch them evolve into these beautiful, beautiful kids.
Yeah.
Both boys and girls. Their love and their joy for life is just mesmerizing.
Mm-hmm. It's so cool that we get to, yes, people always ask me man, how hard is it working with what you do? And I said, it is really hard, but a lot of what we do is on the redemptive side because so it makes it easier when you know there's going to be a happy ending. There's going to be redemption. There's going to be a hope and a future. And so it's so rewarding because of that. Mm-hmm. And now it wouldn't be a trip down to see her without a FaceTime, very special FaceTime with Pastor Troy. And I love it. Look, you can tell his eye holes are leaking. Not bleeding. He says my eye holes are leaking, but look, you can tell he's all worked up in that picture. I'm getting to talk to her. And I'm sure he said to her, what he always says is you're a good girl and we love you and you're safe now and we're going to take care of you. And I love
that. The second he told her she's a good girl, she started bawling. I mean, she just instantly started crying. Yeah, it was.
Oh my gosh.
Like I said, I'm pretty well trained, but this trip was hard not to cry on. I had to wait till I got back to my hotel room. I was just crying my eyes out.
Oh my
hours.
Gosh. Wow.
And it wasn't because I was sad by any means. It's just. Yeah. The joy I felt and the love I felt was just, it was phenomenal. There's no other words for it.
Well, thanks for the update. And we can't wait to have you back when you get back from your next few trips to talk about all the things that God is doing and that we are helping. And when you partner with this ministry, guys, you are helping make all of this possible. The reward is for you. When you hear these stories, when you hear stories of our rescues, you can know I played a part in that because I'm sowing into this mission. I'm sowing into this ministry. Even when you are a media missionary, when you share this, all of that, you never know where it's going to land and who's going to hear it. And maybe it's someone that God's been moving on their heart and saying, hey, I really want you to sponsor a home and I'm going to bring you that home. And maybe it's what we're doing in Branson. Maybe it's what we're doing in Belize, like you heard yesterday. Maybe it's what we're doing in Mexico, guys. So thank you so much for every single person who partners with what we are doing. And if you want to get more involved or know more, give us a call at that number on your screen, 877-413-0888. You can also go to troybrewer.com and click on give. And you can also mail snail mail to the address right there on your screen right here in Burleson, Texas, guys. We would love to hear from you. We would love for you to be a part of our family and be a rescuer. Every single person that stands with us, you are a rescuer. You really are, and you're helping make this all possible. So, all right, guys, with that, let's get into the sermon that we have from Pastor Troy on kingdom values. To be honest, this is one of the best sermons that I have ever heard Pastor Troy preach. So get ready to take notes. And before we get to that in 2 seconds, I want to remind you tonight at Open Door Church, we got Pastor Doug in the house. So tune in at 7 p.m. if you can't make it here or join us live right here at Open Door Church in person. We'd love to have you. And then on Sunday, Pastor Troy and Leanna are back from their travels. Plus we have special guest Ken Paxton. He is the Texas Attorney General. Guys, it's going to be such a good Sunday here at Open Door Church. So you don't want to miss that. And to give us just a little taste of the anointing that this house carries, guys, this is Pastor Troy's sermon on kingdom values. Get your pen and paper ready. You're going to want to be writing a lot of stuff down. Watch this.
For the past month, I've been preaching on the kingdom, and I've been talking about the responsibility and the role of kings who step up into their callings, into their identities, and say, not on our watch. That we have to be able to say, well, that was then, but this is now. And we have to be able to do that over and over and over again. And this is a huge season of transition. Now, look, we're always in transition. If you're progressive and if you're always moving and if you're advancing within the kingdom, you're just going to learn to live a transitional lifestyle where you're moving from here to there and from here to there and from here to there. And those are really good things. But there are times where there will just be a huge anointing where God Almighty will open up a door in heaven and he'll say, come up here. And when that happens, if you reject that, and if you don't walk in that, and if you refuse that, God Almighty will still love you. You will still have real estate in heaven, but you will not be impactful on the kingdom. You'll not be impactful in the kingdom. And then someday you will stand before Jesus himself at the Bema Seat judgment. And your judgment of reward, which is what the Bema Seat judgment is, there's literally a judgment that we come before that is called the Bema Seat. And it's the place where you stand in front of everybody and Jesus Christ rewards you. Instead of you getting a gold medal at the Eternal Olympics, it'll be about the miracles you missed. And I think about that a lot. While the Bible clearly states that there is no shame in heaven, the Bible also clearly states that there will be many that on the day that the rewards are there, you're going to be shown all the rewards that Jesus had for you. And you think, I don't need those. You're going to think that then. You are. You're going to think it then. You might not think it now, but you will think it then on that day. And there will be many people who will experience great loss with sorrow, Jesus says. Like, dang, are you kidding me, man? Like, what was I thinking? And then you never have an opportunity again to level up. You will never have an opportunity again to be brave in the midst of scary circumstances. You will never have an opportunity again to praise him in the midst of your sickness. You will never have an opportunity again to proclaim your loyalty to King Jesus when all hell is breaking loose. No, that's for this. This is the time that we have that. And Jesus sees it and he takes it very seriously. So we have to be willing to step up. No matter what shameful things have happened, no matter what bad choices we've made, that was then, this is now. And we have to step up. So in the midst of looking at the difference between being a servant, being a priest, and being a king, or being a servant and being a friend and being a son, amen, or being a 30-fold Christian or a 60-fold Christian or a 100-fold Christian, the difference between all those things, as I've been studying that and as I've been thinking about it and thinking, how can I just inspire everybody to just go, okay, if that knucklehead can do it, then I can do it, right? How can I just get up there, Lord, and not that I'm living a 100-fold Christian walk. I'm just saying I'm going after it. Amen? I'm just going after it. And also, too, I want to be more effective than I've ever had. I want to have real mastery in my life concerning certain things. I really do. And for a long time, I thought, I don't need to have mastery in anything. I just need me some Jesus. Well, I have me some Jesus, and God Almighty was good to me. And instead of God Almighty being good to me, in all this advancement and all of these huge wins and lives being transformed, God was really good to me in the midst of all of my failures. And I don't want to be like that anymore. Are you guys hearing me? So I want to actually tell you that the culture that you live in, the culture of your house that you steward, and let me define stewardship. Stewardship is something that is entrusted to you and you add value to it. That's what stewardship is. So you actually steward not only your house, but you actually steward the culture of your house. Dads, I want to tell you something. If you're a guy that works really, really, really hard and you're a good provider and you think that that's all, then that's all that is required. And if you do not maintain the culture of your house, you will come home and everybody will be scared. Nobody knows what's going to set you off. And you'll be like, but dude, I'm working all day long. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And what's real is you will be sowing more hell into your field than you will be seed for the harvest. Man, and there will be a harvest. But sometimes it's more of weeds. And man, the culture is the environment that you live in. And you know, it's like you have environments, you have atmospheres, and then you have cultures. Those are the three different levels of how those things work. Environments, and I just, you know, if I was to drive up to your house and just go, man, this brother needs help. He hasn't mowed his lawn in, you know, 28 years. And I find a 57 Chevy after I get out there and mow. And then I go in there, you know, man, you hadn't taken the trash out in 2 years or whatever. I don't have to know the condition of your heart because you're a wreck. You're a train wreck. Like, well, you can't judge me according to my junk in my yard. I can if I run your HOA. But I ain't going to run your HOA. I hate that. I don't like that at all. But I would just say that you have environments that you have to steward and that you have to add value to. Then you have atmospheres that you steward and you have to add value to. And then you have cultures that you steward and that you have to add value to. Open Door does a lot of things. And we are involved in a whole lot of things all the time. And I'm not very good at very many things. I'm good at being involved, and I'm good at being faithful. I'm good at being the last man standing. I'm good at outworking people, and I'm good at being meaner than anybody else in the midst of the fight. But I'm not really a good fighter. Everybody, when I was a kid, everybody would want me in the fight. Man, bring Troy, because he's nuts. But I would be the guy crawling back to my pickup truck who just had the snot beat out of me. But I'd be laughing because I thought it was hilarious. So I'm good at those kinds of things, but I'm not really very good at very many things. But I'm going to tell you something I am good at. I'm good at a culture. The Lord has brought me into a place where I have learned to be good at forming cultures and establishing cultures and stewarding cultures where people are free, people are redeemed, and where people are free enough to be who they are called to be and to take everything to the next level. And I want to tell you, everybody that comes here from all over the world, all my pastor friends, all my world famous pastor friends, the thing that they are blown away with is the culture of our house. Like, we have never seen a more non-religious people love Jesus as much. It's crazy. We had never seen a place where boys and girls work side by side and they all knock it out of the park and there's not a bunch of shenanigans going on. We've never seen that. We have never seen a church that houses so many ministries all over the world with a global effort, global, 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 but yet they are so stinking indigenous. Like, what the heck? How did you pull this off? And this is what I always tell them. I always tell them, well, it's values that define a culture. And let me tell you what values are. It's what you decide to make a big deal out of. It's actually a part of the fear of the Lord. It's a part of us being consecrated to the Lord that we define what we're going to make a big deal out of according to the word of God and according to the heart of the King. And this is the way it works in the kingdom. And men, you spend your entire life exploring that and trying to line up with that. So what I did was years and years ago, I went and got with my good friend, Pastor Dave Crone. And we were in Vacaville, California, and he has a book that is called Decisions That Define Us, just a masterpiece. And from that, I was inspired, and I came up with my own 16 core values. I could have hundreds of these, but I stopped at 16, and like, okay, 16 is enough. I don't want to just get lost in all of these things, and it'd be too hard to keep up with. But it's something that me and my teams talk about a lot. This last week, I was with the staff out at Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and I got to go speak to their staff, and I did their staff chapel on Tuesday. And while I was there, I shared these with them, and the Holy Spirit just moved. It was so powerful. I'd like to share them with you and give you some things to think about. I don't know if all these things will make sense, but maybe one will land and you'll go home and going, I'm going to speak that. I needed that language and I need to start making a big deal out of that. Amen. And by the way, I want to tell you guys, if you do not steward your culture, the meanest and most disruptive person in your workplace or your family or your church will be happy to do that. Isn't that the truth? Okay, so these are my 16 core values that I share with my staff. The first one is just awesome. Unity makes us a conduit of God's power. That's our first one. And when I say unity, I'm not talking about religious unity, where we all have to be the same race, we all have to wear the same clothes, we all have to have the same haircut. That is fakery. That is not unity. It's baloney, nini. That's what that is. Hey, listen, I want to tell you when it's not real, when everybody looks and acts and talks exactly the same. That is not unity. That is not unity. That is conformity. Unity is covenant. Unity is brotherhood, friendship, and family. And unity is the idea that even though we might get in a knockdown dragout, and even though we don't do things the same, I will never, ever form a mob against you. That's what it is. And that's the way it's supposed to work within the body of Jesus. And it's not that we do things the same. I have a very autonomous style of leadership in that I hire the best people I can hire. I work with the best people I can work with. And then I set them up for success. I equip them. I bring them in. I pour oil on them. I lay my hands on them. And then I say, sick them, and I leave them alone. Because they're not going to do things the way that I would do things. Oh, well, then you're not being a good leader. No, I'm defining the culture, and I'm also defining the wins and the outcomes that I want. As a visionary, that's what I have to do. But I do not have to tell them what color lights they have on their stage. I do not have to tell them all those things. I don't mess with any of that. In fact, if I have to tell you those things, why am I paying you? You should be blowing my mind every single day. And if you're not, why am I paying you? Right? You understand what I'm saying? So when I set up that culture so that people are free, unity makes us a conduit for God's power. And I want to be a powerful person, and I'm always going to have a lot of conflict in my life because I'm a scrapper, and the kingdom of heaven suffers violent, and the violent take it by force. But I have to be in unity with the people that I love, which means I'm going to have to lay down my life over and over and over again. I would not lead the praise and worship team the way that Pastor Pauline leads it. I wouldn't do that. And the praise and worship team is better because of how she leads it. Right? So I know I've learned what my lanes are. And since, like, I've got unity with my kids. Do you know why I've got unity with my kids? Because I don't go over their house and criticize how they do their house. I don't criticize their spouses. Mom, dad, if you're doing that, that's stupid. Don't do that. I'm just telling you, it's just not. Show up, well, I see you this, I see that. Well, I see this. Well, I see your wife this. Don't do that. That is no longer your lane. Amen. It drives people crazy, and it is a work of hell. It really and truly is. So unity makes us a conduit for God's power. That's the first one. Here's the second one. We value character before charisma. There's a lot of times that I wish people were better at doing certain things, but I really believe that people can learn to do better at certain things. They can be trained. They can be equipped. They can be reinforced, those kinds of things. But what's their character like? And the reason why we've had so many scandals in the body of Jesus, and why you find out, well, this guy has, you know, been having all these affairs and been acting like a knucklehead, and this guy has been going around and mining Facebook and been giving false prophetic words, and this guy does this and that guy does that. The reason why is because we're blown away at the charisma of people, and we really don't care about their character. And we got to stop that. We have to go, dude, I don't really know what that guy can do, but I want to tell you right now, that is an amazing human being. So I have that value. And again, we could I could literally spend 16 weeks, of course, and preach on every single one of those, but I just want to continue. Do you guys care if I just continue? Let's go on to the next one. We express the nature of God. I don't want to do ministry without it looking like Jesus in some form. It's great to give away millions and millions of pounds of food. We do that. It's great to rescue 1,000 kids a year out of sexual slavery. We do that. It's great to raise those kids. But if it doesn't look like Jesus in how we do those things, then we don't need to be carrying his name. We don't need to be doing that in his name. One of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, right? And we think that that means saying a dirty word. That's not what that means. It doesn't say thou shalt not say the name of the Lord thy God in vain. It says thou shalt not take or carry the name or the persona of God in vanity. It's a completely different understanding than how we have understood it culturally. So what is that? What the heck is that? It's this, dude, if you're going to show up and if you're going to feed people and if you're going to do a huge outreach and you're going to say, come, because in the name of Jesus, if you do something in the name of Jesus, it means that you're a kingdom person that comes in his name, which means his will and his authority. So this is going to be, guys, we're Jesus people and we're going to feed you. And if during that time you make people feel terrible because they're poor, if during that time you make them jump through all kinds of hoops that are not necessary, if you make them fill out all kinds of questionnaires of how come you don't have a job, which, by the way, don't assume that people don't have a job if they show up for help. They still need help. But you don't know what they're going through anyway. If your criteria is, well, your car better not be as good as my car. If your criteria is, do you promise never smoke? That has nothing to do with how you came in the name of the Lord to do something in the name of the Lord, which means you are supposed to represent the Father. If you come in his name, so I have got this huge, we express the nature of God. What? Okay, the nature of God. So what is his nature like? Like, what's his personality like? How would he do this? Okay, so I want you just to think about, not about the logistics of how Jesus fed the 5,000, but I want you to think about what was his nature as he fed the 5,000. What was the takeaway of everybody as they walked away from Jesus on that day? What did they learn about the Father? And that needs to be an expressive win to all of us. Yes, we celebrate how many people came. It's awesome. We have 4,000 people showing up a week. We have 50-something zip codes showing up a week. Yes. But here's the real win. Here's the real win. What did those people leave there knowing about Jesus that they didn't know, not because of how we preached it, but because of how we demonstrated it? Number four, all of life is spiritual. That means everything in the kingdom comes from third heaven to the first heaven. Like, okay, what do you mean by that? I mean that there's no Hebrew word for spiritual, and there's not. There's not a Hebrew word for spiritual and not a Hebrew word for secular. And we have those words in English because we like to put things in silos, and that's not how it works. So since I have this principle, all of life is spiritual. Yesterday, whenever we were doing this big conference, Rebecca, who works for me and who is one of my daughters in the Lord, she told me, she said, hey, you need to know that my husband is not here today because he took my son to a baseball game in Houston. And I want to tell you what I told her. It's just as godly for your husband to take your son to a baseball game as it is to bring him to a conference. That's awesome. Awesome. Thank you for spending the whole day here, Rebecca. Good job. But nobody should have to apologize for those things. It's just as godly to take your kids deer hunting or fishing or go on a family vacation if you can hold it together. It might also be a huge demonstration of hell if you're not careful. But I have a huge value for that. That there's not like, if you were going to ask Jesus, hey, Jesus, tell me, man, tell me about your spiritual walk with the Father. He said, my walk with the Father is in every single part of my life. I don't have a distinction between the two. All of my life belongs to the Lord. Amen. Okay, here's the next one. The kingdom is progressive. This is a really big deal to me. We're supposed to change. We believe that there's no limit to the mandate and the invitation for total transformation within our lives. The definition of a cursed life is not just one that goes backwards, but rather one that never goes forward. Okay, where is that in the Bible? It's in Genesis chapter 49, verses 3 and 4, whenever God Almighty shows us how Jacob blessed his sons. He gets to his first son in Genesis chapter 49, a brother by the name of Reuben, who his portion was to dwell in the land that bordered the Moabites. And that also is a whole nother thing. But in Genesis 49, he goes there and he says, okay, brother, you are my excellency in this, meaning you have the preeminence. You're the best of the best of the best in this, and you have the excellency or preeminence in that. But then he said this, dude, you are as unstable as water, and you will not excel. He literally placed a curse upon him, and the curse was not, you're going to go backwards. The curse was, this is as good as it's ever going to get. You are never going to excel from here. That's a curse. If you believe exactly the way that you believed 20 years ago, if you have not been challenged in your faith, if you haven't had your world rocked and that you discovered something about Jesus and you still have the same faith as 20 years ago, you have wasted 20 years in a cursed life. And I say this, don't do it. If you still got the same haircut and the same best friends that you had in high school and you're 60 or 70 year old dude. Like, well, I just got to be me. No, you got to be you 60 or 70 years ago. I'm like, whoa, Pastor Troy, you have an opinion about that? Yeah, I sure do. People ought to change. People ought to progress. People ought to go to the next level. If 20 years ago or 30 years ago, if you were somebody that you always never had any mastery in this, and today you're exactly the same way, why? Why don't you just learn it? Well, it's just always been a problem for me. Why? Why didn't you overcome it? Oh, well, I can't be held responsible. It's the situations of life that keep coming against me. Buddy, if you know you're going to experience storms, why don't you put a roof on your house? Man, why don't you put walls around your house? Why don't you put a gate? Why don't you put a fence? If you know somebody's going to attack you, if you know, okay, I'm somebody who's vulnerable and I am somebody that always gets attacked in these areas, why don't you learn how to overcome it? Well, I can't be held responsible. No, you can. You've been growing up for a long, long time. Man, y'all are so quiet this morning. I'm just like, Leanna, will you come take over the rest of this sermon for me? I don't think anybody's digging this today. I really don't. No, I know you are. So listen, I was telling the guys this yesterday. If everybody in here is shouting, that means I am confirming something that you already know. If everybody in here is quiet, it means that you're thinking about things you don't usually think about. Or you hate my guts. Everything in the kingdom is progressive, friends. Amen. Okay, number six, we are thermostats and we're not thermometers. You don't get to decide if I'm miserable or not. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. And I want to tell you, I live that life. I'm going to set the tone. I'm going to set the environment. I'm going to set the atmosphere. I'm going to set the culture. I'm going to do that. Go, no. We don't make a big deal out of that. That's not what we make a big deal out of. This is what we make a big deal out of. I tell you guys, you know, it's cool, man, that all of my northern friends are moving down here. I don't blame them. I'd get down here too. But I want to tell you something. Yankee culture is whack, and I don't like it. I love my Yankee friends. I bless you in Jesus' name. But, dude, I cannot stand y'all's culture. If I get into an elevator and nobody talks to me, I will push stop. Yeah, ask Leanna. I've done it. I stopped the elevator. Everybody's like, what the heck? I'm like, are you okay? Because I've been talking to you now for 30 seconds and you have not yet acknowledged I'm speaking to you. Oh, I'm terrible. I'm terrible. I'm absolutely terrible. Well, we all just need to know, dude, we live in a society. We have to live together. Be nice to me. You beautiful Yankee ladies who are like, please don't let your kids say sir and ma'am. It makes me feel so old. Then go feel old. You are old. But I will be respectful. I will teach my kids to be respectful. Do not tell my kids. I don't want you telling my kids. No. I get to set the tone on that. You don't. This is why you got to be involved in your school system, man. Because they'll bring the culture of hell and confuse your children so much. I go, no. We do not make a big deal out of it. I know that they've given a whole month to it. But stupidity is stupidity. Craziness is craziness. It is what it is, and we don't make a big deal out of that. Amen. Are you guys still tracking? Okay, my God. All right, then here's another one that's a really big deal for me. We choose covenant over contract. Covenant over contract. So especially, if you're going to deal with your family, you know, you're talking about covenant. You're not talking about contract. A lot of us as men, we learn these words from our dads, and we have to learn to repent of that. You never tell your kids, well, then you're not my kid. You don't ever let those words come from your mouth. Ever. What kind of a contractual parent are you? You do not say that. You do not have contracts. You have covenant. That's what you have. You never offer, ever, when it comes to your loved ones, you do not offer a line that they cannot cross. That's not the same as having boundaries. You definitely need boundaries. I promise. But again, that goes back to the one before that. No. You don't set the tone. Your stupidity is your stupidity, but it's not going to be mine today. But that's not a contract that says we are no longer family. Aren't you glad, guys, that Jesus doesn't do that to you? Because I promise you, we've all broke the contract. We have. But to constantly think about in terms of, is this covenant or is it contract? Listen, even in covenant, there are things that have to be, the less reciprocal it is, the more boundaries you have to have. If it is reciprocal, then the less boundaries you have to have. I'm not talking about boundaries, because you do have to define, hey, man, can I just tell you, man, you know, I love you. I've always loved you. I thank God for you. I pray for you constantly. But every time you're around me, I want to throw up in my neck. And then everybody gets mad. And I'm like, what? What? Like, no, this, what they say is toxic. How they live is toxic. That they're a mess. And they just, everywhere they go, they just stink up the place. That, it's okay to put a boundary on that and go, hey man, I would rather not hear you say that. And they're like, I don't care what you hear. Oh yeah, no, you do. You do care. And you start laying down boundaries. But it's not a contract. Listen, you're gonna have to love that brother and help that person through that. Listen, man, if you're gonna reach out to people, you're gonna reach out to people and reach out to people and reach out to people. You may never see a return on that, but you're thinking, I'm in covenant with the Lord and I'm going to love these people because Jesus loves these people. And I also have a value for demonstrating the heart of the Father towards them. Do you see how important it is to understand the things that are a big deal to you? And if you start mapping out the things that are a big deal to you, and if it don't look like the kingdom, repent and change how you think. Like, well, I'll tell you right now. Like, I want to tell you right now, I have a huge, I'll say this. I have no value for people that drive slow in the left lane. No value. I want a Mad Max vehicle and I want to put them off in the ditch and say, hey, go get a golf cart. Go get a golf cart. And you're with the Mexican invasion that came in when the borders opened. They have a completely different driving culture down there. And I'd be like, I promise you, Leanna, that's a Mexican right up there. Like, you can't say that. I'm not talking about a Hispanic. I'm talking about a Mexican national. Amen. Again, I have no value for your woke idea of what I can say and what I can't say either. Amen. I have a value for truth. And then you get up there and you're like, watch this, Lena, watch. I promise you, this is real, this is legit. And you pull all the way up there and it's a 90-year-old white guy. I'm like, that's me just a couple of years from now. I said, but no, you have to be able to determine what do you make a big deal out of and what do you not make a big deal out of. While I hate people driving slow in the left-hand lane, I hate it. My value is for how I act on the road, like, it's also important that I don't have a stroke today. It's also very important that, you know, I don't destroy this time that I have in the car with Leanna because I'm mad, and I have a value for the fact that we're together. And then if you don't know what your position is upon things, and if you don't have the language for it, you'll just make a big deal out of what everybody else makes a big deal out of. And then your culture will be that of the world, and it will not be like heaven. Amen? Okay, the next one is number 8. We seek and embrace the supernatural side of God. It's never taboo to me if you tell me you had a dream, you had a vision, you saw something crazy, you saw this, you saw that. You know, this morning coming in, I'll just tell you, I was telling my staff, I was coming in from Egan. I like to drive in through Keene and come in that way. I live out in Glen Rose. And alongside of the railroad track, I saw something come bolting out in the road. It was black and it was something spirit. It came out on the road and it was in a hot hurry to go somewhere. And I have no idea what it was. That was this morning. And it looked kind of like a dog, but it was a whole lot bigger than a dog. And it was moving. And I was like, when I first saw it coming up to the road, I put on the brakes because my first thought was it was a cow or something like that. And it just came, and I went, oh, what the heck is that? And I was going, what? And so I pulled up, and the place where it crossed the road, I just stopped, rolled down the window, and I went, Jesus! Jesus! I want to scare him a little bit. And I'm like, no, dude, you're going to cross in front of me, which I don't think he was doing that on purpose. I just think light maketh manifest, and sometimes you just see things. Amen? Okay, if that for you is like, whoo, okay, you can't hang around me. Because that's nothing. Amen. So I have a huge value for the reality of the Spirit. All right, here's the next one. Number 9, connected for kingdom purpose. My relationships and my networks are not just for me. I steward those things because the kingdom needs that. That's a huge one. I wish I had time to preach on that for a long time. Okay, here's the next one. Heaven is reproducing through me. God hates barrenness. And I'm not talking about, ladies, your ability to be able to have a baby or not. I'm talking about our ability to bear much fruit. Amen. Amen. So I'm supposed to constantly reproduce heaven through me. And I am responsible for that. Here's another one. Restoration is greater than punishment. All day. Listen, guys, we got to be redemption fanatics. And it's better to restore things than it is to punish people. It's better to get them restored. Guys, I want to tell you, and again, a lot of people, I guarantee you I'm going to get a lot of hate for saying this. There's a bunch of people on my staff who have been divorced, and I went and rescued them. Like, you can't have pastors who have been divorced. Get away from me. I'm not going to punish them because their marriage failed. Amen. I have no value for that. Now, if they're out cheating on their wife, they need two things. And the second one is they need to be kicked out of ministry because you just can't trust them. But I am going to tell you this. First, you need to take them to your office and lock the door and beat the snot out of them. Let their wife get a broom and take it to him, just like Willie Nelson's wife did. Yeah. But honestly, I mean, I really believe in this. Restoration is greater than punishment. Restoration is greater than punishment, Lord. And that comes from him. That doesn't come from me. And so I have to believe that whenever I'm in trouble. When I come to him and say, Lord, restore me. Help me. I know, God, that you love restoration more than you love punishment. And then I had to conform my life to that. Next one. I am blessed to be a blessing. I am blessed to be a blessing, which is why it should be important to you to be blessed. Like, well, I don't got to be blessed, man. Okay, well, then you're not planning on being a blessing. So you have to think about that. You are blessed to be a blessing. The next one after that actually goes hand in hand with that, and it's a huge value I have, stewardship over ownership. You don't look like you own. You should not look like or act like you actually own anything. Because when you're done, it's going to go to somebody else. It's stewardship. And stewardship, remember, is when you add value to something that is entrusted to you. Constantly adding value to the things that you put your hands on. Okay, the next one is this. I am made to accomplish vision. That's a big one on my list, man. I'm made for this. Do you know that with your Holy Ghost package that you got whenever you entered into Jesus, do you know that part of that is I promise you, the same spirit that brings the prophetic is the same exact spirit that causes you to be entrepreneurial. It's the same spirit. It's where you get a vision. It's where you get an idea. It's where you begin to understand something. And it's where you get the courage to engage in something and to change things and to go after something. Well, if you don't have this value, you just think, I don't need to dabble in any of those things. I don't need to try out any of those things. No, I'm made for that. I'm made to actually accomplish vision. And then the next one is really cool. And I love this one too. This is a big one. I live with the awareness that nothing is impossible. Okay, when I'm starting to lose my hope, I have to go back to this principle. No, I'm not somebody that loses hope. I'm not. I am aware that, and I have to be in the constant awareness. I have to live the lifestyle of somebody who believes that nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Amen. And then the last one here, this is the last one, and this is number 16. And this is a really big one, and it's no matter the cost. I will not keep track of what I do for people. I will not keep track of how I serve the Lord. I will not keep track of how I serve this church. I'm just going to let my yes be yes, and my no is going to be no. And if I continue to count the cost of everything that I've done to make this church work, everything that I've done to save kids, everything that I've done, and I just keep track of all those things, the day is going to come, I'm going to decide I paid too much. It's too hard. It's too much. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. And you do not keep track of what you have done for people. I don't. And people come to me often and they will tell me, thank you for something I did 5 years ago for them. And I'm like, you're welcome. And I walk away going, I do not even remember that. See, if I decide I'm going to do something for you, it doesn't mean that you owe me. If I believe that you owe me, I will keep track of it. If I keep track of everything that I do for the Lord, it means that I think he owes me. You don't owe me nothing, man. I'm just going to serve the Lord. And I'm going to take on hell with a water pistol. And I'm going to say no matter the cost because I think it's all hilarious. Right? It's funny. And dadgummit, I want to make it funny. And I'm not going to keep track of that. I'm not going to. We keep track of our stats because we have to communicate to the body throughout the world of what it is that we're actually doing. That's just a form of accountability. But when it comes to me personally, if I say I'm going to rescue somebody, I don't care what the cost is. And it's real hard to communicate that in the kind of ways like, okay, Troy, how much does it cost to rescue a kid? And how much does it cost to raise a kid? Okay, well, we have settled on the average cost of a rescue is around $1,200, $1,400. We've settled on that. But that is unless, of course, it costs $100,000. Right? Because it might. But we say it's $1,200. Maybe $1,400 is about the average throughout the world. But we don't care. I mean, if we're not going to try and rescue a kid and then go, well, my God, that's going to cost $30,000. Like, no, we already engaged to rescue the child, and we have a value, and we have a core value, and we have a principle that says no matter the cost, we're in it now. So let's go. So to refresh, go back to the very first one, buddy. I'm going to rattle through these very, very, very quickly. Number one, unity makes us a conduit for God's power. Number two, we value character before charisma. Number three, we express the nature of God. Number four, all of life is spiritual. Number five, the kingdom is progressive. Number six, we are thermostats and not thermometers. Number seven, we choose covenant over contract. Number eight, we seek and we embrace the supernatural side of God. Number nine, we are connected for kingdom purpose. Number 10, heaven is reproducing through me. The next one is restoration is greater than punishment. We are blessed to be a blessing. Stewardship and not ownership. I am made to accomplish vision. I live with a constant awareness that nothing is impossible. And number 16 is no matter the cost. Well, in closing, I would like to say that we believe the greatest of all commandments is not the Great Commission, but rather to love God and to love those around us. And we're constantly conforming, and we're constantly working on this thing, all of us. And like, am I making too big of a deal of this? Am I not making a big enough deal about that? Because again, to me, all that comes into the category of our loyalty to Jesus or how we fear the Lord. I'd like to ask everybody to stand up if you would. Hallelujah. Well, I hope I've given you something to think about today. Maybe you could just come up with four or five or six or seven core values for your house. Or 20 or 30 or 40 core values for your marriage, or a few core values for this thing or that thing, and go, does that look like heaven or does that not come from heaven? I always make a big deal of this. I always make a big deal of that. Am I supposed to make a big deal out of that? Because friends, what you make a big deal out of, what you prioritize and what you value defines your culture. So Father God, I pray, God, for our homes, for our relationships, for our workplace. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for your goodness to be made manifest among us. God, you're so good. God, teach us, Lord God. God, move us into something greater by the spirit of wisdom, Lord. Father, we repent for not thinking the way, God, that you tell us to think. God, we want to. Let the mind of Christ transform our lives. I pause here because the Holy Spirit just started moving in such a cool way. Maybe that's you getting healed. Maybe that's you getting saved. Maybe that's you deciding that your heart is broken before the King and that you have to receive Jesus today. Maybe that is you deciding that your mind is not for rent to the circumstances or the gods of this world, but you know who God is. He's Jesus, and he's the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. Maybe you've given up because you haven't held on to the core value of I will live in the awareness that nothing is impossible. Friends, over the next few minutes, my team wants to pray over you. And the altar ministry here at Open Doors is a really big deal to us, because while we believe in the corporate preaching of the gospel, man, we also believe in the individual touch, and we also believe in individual ministry. If you need a miracle within your life, if you need prayer, if you need to be saved, if you need a breakthrough within your life, if you want to stand in the gap for somebody else, come down here and let us pray for you. Friends, I love y'all so much, and I'll be back next Sunday. And until the next time I see you, I call you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord.
Ugh, I told you that was so, so good. I've heard that sermon now a few times, and every single time I feel like the Lord just highlights something else in my spirit that I'm like, yep, I need to make a note of that. I need to make sure that is staying at the front of my mind. You know, sometimes when the Holy Spirit tugs at your heart, it's because like you're going to see that situation, or you're going to see a need for whatever that nugget of wisdom is in your day or in your week. So, man, I know that you guys probably all felt that as well watching. And let me just encourage you again to share this, because someone that you might know, maybe someone came to mind as you were listening to Pastor Troy. Hey, I think I need to send this to them. I think they need to hear what the Lord is saying in this time. So I just want to encourage you to share that with someone today. All right, guys, until next time, I call you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. We'll see you later.